Today, oh September, just the start and nowhere to hide. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, on Wednesday, US stocks ended the month with their fourth straight daily decline, cementing the weakest August performance in 7 years, as worries about aggressive interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve persist. The three main indices suffered their biggest monthly percentage declines in August since 2015. After hitting a four-month high in mid-August, the S&P 500 has stumbled in recent weeks, dropping by more than 8% to Wednesday's close and falling through several closely watched technical support levels. As a result, investors went hungry in August, denied by the Federal Reserve of opportunities to profit like no other month in four decades. From stocks to bonds and commodities, every major asset slid. The least atrocious return was a 1.9% loss from high-yield corporate bonds. Worse was a 2.2% drop in treasuries, a 3.9% decline in commodities, and a 4.2% slide in the S&P 500. Rarely has advice not to fight the Fed borne out more severely. The last time the best-performing asset did worse in a month was back in December 1981. The only way to make money, in an absolute sense, is cash or shorting something, said James Athey, investment director at Aberdeen Asset Management. The forward growth outlook is deteriorating. Risk assets are nowhere near appropriately priced for such an environment, and I expect weakness to continue. Of course, individual assets have experienced worse pain in numerous periods lately. The pullback in the S&P 500, for instance, pales in a comparison with the 13% plunge it endured during the pandemic crash in March 2020. And as dreadful as things look, American assets are still viewed as a better alternative than the rest of the world, as evidenced by the dollar's advance against a basket of currencies. But viewed as a whole, this month was a futile one for anyone seeking shelter during the global storm. Every market is being driven along the same path thanks to the Fed policy and its impact on the economy. Linkage among assets has strengthened, forcing many investors to become a macro trader. A measure of cross-asset correlation tracked by Barclays sat near the highest levels of the past 17 years. There is no place to hide, with fears of tightening liquidity driving a surge in cross-asset correlation, said Emmanuel Kaur, head of European equity strategy at Barclays. It's fragile, with a fluid gas situation in Europe, mixed inflation data, weaker data in all regions, including China, and no central banks putting strike in sight. Of course, selling pressure accelerated after Fed Chair Jerome Powell's hawkish remarks last Friday about keeping monetary policy tight for some time, and that dashed hopes of more modest interest rate hikes, with the benchmark index down more than 5% over the past four trading sessions. All Powell cares about is getting inflation down and raising rates to do that. And in terms of how aggressive to be, that is all to be determined from the data, said Tim Grinsky, senior portfolio strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Right now, we are in this flip back and forth market. A lot of volatility. Concerns the rally we did have was just a bear market rally. Probably some concern we will go back down to new lows. Cleveland Federal Reserve Bank President Loretta Mester said on Wednesday that the central bank will need to boost interest rates somewhat above 4% by early next year and hold them there in order to bring inflation back down to the Fed's goal, and that the risk of recession over the next year or two had moved up. And Lori Logan, who started her new job as president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas just over a week ago, on Wednesday lost no time making clear she's ready to jump in alongside her fellow US central bankers to fight inflation. Being president of the Dallas Fed and as a policymaker, our number one priority has to be to restore price stability, Logan said on Wednesday in a virtual event held by the regional Fed bank to introduce her. The theme from Jackson Hole was very clear. The clear priority was bringing inflation down because it's having significant implications and hardships for businesses and households, Logan said. And that really lines up with my own priority. The jobs data from the Labour Department out on Friday and will be very important because what it shows will perhaps help to determine the hike. For example, if it rose by 300,000 or so after recording a 528,000 increase in July, another strong report would be likely to further cement expectations the Fed will continue with outsized rate hikes after three straight increases of 75 basis points. And it's important to understand that the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is now aiming for something much more painful for the economy to put an end to of elevated inflation, a growth recession. Unlike a soft landing, it's a protracted period of meagre growth and rising unemployment, but it stops short of an outright contraction of the economy. Yet, will even this be enough to snuff out inflation? Who can tell? Powell buried the concept of a soft landing with his speech of August 26th in Jackson Hole, said Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG. But now the Fed's goal is to grind inflation down by slowing growth below its potential, which officials peg at around 1.8%. It's a bit like dripping water torture, added Swonk, who attended the Fed's annual Jackson Hole symposium last week. It's a tortuous process, but less torturous and less painful than an abrupt recession. In the archetypal soft landing of 1994 to 95, the Fed slowed the economy briefly and contained inflation through a doubling of interest rates. But unemployment never really rose. It just stopped falling for a while. The late New York University economist Solomon Fabricant coined the term growth recession in research published in 1972. While such a scenario may not be as costly as an actual contraction, it poses dangers for the economy nonetheless. He suggested at the time, a tiger contained is not the same as a tiger loose on the streets, but neither is it a paper tiger, he wrote. Powell has seemingly concluded that it will take a tiger, and not just a soft landing, to attack Americans' pernicious inflation. In his Jackson Hole speech, he said the labour market was clearly out of balance, with the demand for workers substantially exceeding supply. That's led to rapid wage rises that are incompatible with the Fed's 2% target range. Reducing inflation is likely to require a sustained period of below-trend growth, Powell said. Moreover, there will very likely be some softening of labour market conditions, widely seen as a euphemism for higher unemployment. Powell said the pain that businesses and households will have to endure was preferable to the Fed failing to restore price stability now and having to inflict even more damage on the economy later. He left the door open to another jumbo 75 basis point interest rate increase in September, telling fellow central bankers at Jackson Hole that a recent embedding of US inflation falls far short of what policymakers want to see. Slowing the economy down enough to push up joblessness without tipping the economy into recession will take some luck, however. A weak economy that's barely growing is much more likely to be knocked off course by an unexpected shock, like a renewed run-up in oil prices, for example. We are on the edge and very fragile, said Moody Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi. If anything at all goes off the rails, we're going into recession, although he added that's not his base case. What's more, once joblessness starts to rise, that has knock-on effects on the rest of the economy, prompting households to pull back on their spending and making a contraction in gross domestic product more likely. The so-called SARM rule, developed by former Fed official Claudia SARM, signals the start of a recession when the three-month moving average of the unemployment rate rises by half a percentage point or more from its low in the previous 12 months. So that's one to watch. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.88% to 31,510. The S&P 500 lost 0.78% to 3,955. And the Nasdaq Composite dropped 0.56% to 11,816. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index lost 1.15% after Seagate was down 3.54% and slashed its first quarter earning expectations, citing macroeconomic concerns that are forcing cloud companies and PC makers to cut inventory levels. In addition, HP fell 7.68% after it forecast downbeat quarterly and full-year profit on slowing PC sales. Snap rose 8.69% after saying it will cut 20% of staff, restructuring its advertising sales unit, and shutting down some projects to focus on improving sales and the number of Snapchat users. Chewy slid 8.18% after the online pet supplies retailer cut its full-year 2022 sales outlook, and Bed Bath & Beyond plunged 21.3% after saying it would close 150 stores, cutting jobs, and would overhaul its merchandising strategy in an attempt to turn around its money-losing business. So for the month, the Dow fell 4.06%, the S&P 500 lost 4.24%, and the Nasdaq declined 4.64%. Energy added to the slump after a day earlier, as oil prices fell, as fears about the impact of slowing global growth on the energy demand offset positive data, showing weekly US crude inventories unexpectedly fell last week. WTI was down to 87.27. And by the way, gold also slipped to 1,719. Adding to investor nervousness, stocks are also heading into a historically weak period for the market in September. September is usually the worst month of the year. It and February are the only ones to post average declines, but September is the only month of the year to fall more than it rises, so it could end up being sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, said Stan Stovall, chief investment strategist at CFRA in New York. And so what is ahead? Well, famed investor Jeremy Grantham says the super bubble he previously warned about has yet to pop, even after this year's turbulence in the US stock market. The co-founder of Boston Asset Management GMO, known for calling market bubbles, said in a note on Wednesday that the surge in US equities from mid-June to mid-August fits the pattern of bear market rallies common after an initial sharp decline and before the economy truly begins to deteriorate. Grantham sees more trouble ahead because of a dangerous mix of overvalued stocks, bonds, and housing, combined with a commodity shock and hawkishness from the Federal Reserve. Grantham predicted around the start of the year that benchmark stocks would plunge around 50% in an historic collapse. And of course, the S&P 500 at one point in June dropped around 25% from its January peak before roaring back in the following 2 months. Yet, US equities are tumbling yet again, on track to fall for the fourth straight session, with prominent strategists like Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson among those cautioning investors that the market hasn't hit its bottom yet. You had a typical bear market rally the other day, and people were saying, oh, it's a new bull market, Grantham said in an interview. That is nonsense. To Grantham, the collapse of a super bubble comes in several stages. First, there's a setback, like the one in the first half of the year. Then a slight rally follows. And finally, fundamentals break down and the markets reach their low points. Grantham became famous spotting and profiting from bubbles in Japan in the late 1980s, the tech stocks at the turn of the century, and in US housing before the 2008 financial crisis. Some of his other bearish predictions over the years had been wrong, or at least too early, but this time around, he pointed to near-term problems, such as the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on Europe, which is grappling with food and energy crises, along with fiscal tightening and China's persistent COVID issues. While rising inflation drove declines in the first half of the year, falling corporate profit margins will cause the next round of losses, he said. My bet is that we're going to have a fairly tough time of it economically and financially before this is washed through the system, Grantham says. What I don't know is, does that get out of hand like it did in the 1930s? Or is it pretty well contained as it was in 2000? Or is it somewhere in the middle? And another sign that the recession will be tough to avoid is the ongoing downturn in the housing market in response to the upturn in Fed interest rates. In the post-World War II era, there have only been three times that such a weakening of housing didn't lead to a recession. 1965-6, 1984-5, and 1994-5, according to Doug Duncan, chief economist at Fannie Mae. In each of those cases, the Fed began raising interest rates before inflation had gotten out of hand, which is certainly not the case today. So Duncan sees a mild recession starting in the first quarter of 2023. So the takeout from today is this. If you think the crash is over and stocks are rising, you're on a different planet. The truth is that September is always dodgy, and this year more dodgy than ever, given Fed tightening and, of course, other central banks around the world. Here in Australia, the Reserve Bank will continue to lift rates as well. They haven't got much choice to follow suit, and that means that the chances of an economy growing here in Australia in the next year or so is pretty limited. And given our trade exposure to China and some of the other factors internationally speaking, for example, higher funding costs, we have to expect that the local markets will also go down. So the bottom line is this: September is upon us, markets will fall. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.